take a step back and go, what are we doing when we stand up in front of people on a Sunday morning?
What are we doing?
The primary thing is that we're trying to lead people lovingly, gently, to be able to sing the truths of God's word.
Right.
And so this, anything I do on here, is secondary to them singing.
Okay.
And me singing with joy and loving God as I express those truths.
Hello and welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name is Adrian Reynolds, Head of National Ministries. I'm here with a guitar today and another guitar and a guitarist. It's Andy Fenton. Hello, Andy. Nice to see you.
Hello, Adrian.
You head up, well, you do lots of things, but one of the things you do is you head up music ministry. Yeah. And we're here to do a podcast, really, about leading singing with a guitar. So I'm really glad you've come. As I often tell you, you're my third favourite Christian guitarist.
And Adrian, you are my fourth favourite pianist.
Thank you. Just pianist generally or Christian pianist?
Christian pianist.
Oh, okay. So that's not such a high accolade, really. Okay, never mind. So as you know, you come in behind, I'm afraid, Stuart Townend.
Obviously.
Yeah, and Graham Kendrick.
I've played Graham Kendrick's guitar.
Have you?
And he's played my guitar.
Okay.
Which is one of my claims to fame.
You're still third.
No, he hasn't put amazing.
No, more seriously, Andy, I'm very fond of you, and I'm often at things that you're leading the singing, and you do a great job. We were at the what used to be called the Bristol Men's Convention, but is now the Southwest Gospel Partnership Men's Convention in Bristol. Yeah. Rolls off the tongue, and you were leading the singing there. We had a great time singing, didn't we? And I think actually there's something about singing at the moment which is particularly precious, because we're all remembering times when we couldn't sing.
Yeah.
So suddenly now that we can, it's fantastic, isn't it? Just to be able to sing.
It's one of those things where we, post-pandemic, we've come back, we all absolutely loathe singing in front of a screen. Most of us mimed.
Yep.
And it's trying to, isn't it, work out why actually singing by our brothers and sisters as we gather on a Sunday morning is so precious to us. Hearing that person sing the truths of the gospel into our heads, gets down deep into our hearts, is absolutely magical and so God-given and beautiful that, I just want to encourage people to do that more and more because it's such a precious thing.
Yeah. Can I do my Yip Harburg quote at this point, which you like and I like?
Yeah.
So Yip Harburg was the lyricist for Somewhere Over the Rainbow and all the other songs in The Wizard of Oz and wrote quite a few other famous songs and said this, I think, about words. He said, "But the thing with words, good words, they help you think a thought. Good music helps you feel a feeling. But a good song with lyrics helps you feel a thought."
Yeah,
oh, that's great, because that's what
absolutely
happens. There's something that happens when we sing, which is connecting emotion and mind together.
Yeah.
It's really very potent, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we know that. We've all been in congregations singing our hearts out and just been incredibly moved, however musical you are. It's a moving thing. Now, we're here to talk about guitaring.
Yeah.
And so this is... this is not a podcast episode, I guess, just for generally for leaders of churches. We're specifically doing one on helping people who play the guitar lead well. And we've deliberately chosen me because I'm a dummy when it comes to the guitar. So I'm a pianist, as you know, and I do occasionally play the guitar. And the reason I play the guitar is very often it's an easy thing to carry around. I can't carry a piano around with me in quite the same way. Mm-hmm. And lots of churches, actually, there'll be people who perhaps don't feel particularly accomplished, but can play a little bit of guitar and want to lead. Yeah. I think it's probably also true that more younger people are learning guitar. The piano's kind of falling out of fashion a little bit.
Okay.
It's an expensive instrument to learn and to have.
Yeah.
Whereas actually you can sit in your bedroom and you can learn a guitar.
Yeah.
So we've got more young people in our church learning guitar than we have piano, for example.
And I think that's a liberating thing. I mean, I have a sporting background. I play no instrument. I've never had a music lesson in my life, and that will become obvious very soon.
so this really is guitar, leading worship for dummies.
Totally.
Is it?
But when I was young, I broke a bunch of bones and I couldn't do any sport for a while. But the old Songs of Fellowship, do you remember the old hymn?
I do remember. Well, I go back further than that. But yes, I do remember Songs of Fellowship, yeah.
Chords in the back.
Yep.
Do you remember?
Chord charts in the back. I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah, the big orange one. And I remember my parents just saying, look, here's an old classical guitar. Learn some chords and just get a song. And the one I chose, do you remember this? This is the day.
This is the day that the Lord has made, which is what it, yeah, okay, I do remember. Yes, yeah, I do remember that. You know, don't play too much of it for copyright reasons, but
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry.
But I do remember this is the
that
day.
That cannot
yes.
be in copyright. But anyway, if it probably is. I learned it. It only had two chords. Unbelievably. Like,
That's my favourite song, two chords. Yeah.
My parents bribed me, I think. They said, if you learn it, you get a pound or something like that.
Okay.
And so I did. I just happened to pick it up relatively quickly. You know, you get the fingering right and you get the chords right. And it just enabled me to go, gosh, very quickly, I could be useful and by leading others to be able to sing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It didn't take much. And like you say, you can pick up a guitar. In fact, I saw one in my local charity shop. I'll buy it for anyone. It's only £25 in the window.
You heard it here. You yeah. will buy it for anyone. Okay.
But, you know, that's... You can find an old guitar in a lot of places.
So it's worth just saying something about that. I mean, you've got a very nice guitar there, which I'm, you know, jealousy and envy. They're not sins, which is just, well, but you've got a very nice guitar. It says SDG on it,
yeah,
which must mean it was made for Simon.
Oh, bless him.
Simon, someone or other, yeah. So it's a beautiful guitar. I've got a mashup hybrid.
Yeah.
Here, which sounds all right. You know, it has a little acoustic setting. It has this, which you love, so it has an overdrive setting as well. But basically, I can only play four chords.
Yeah, that's okay, all you need.
So I grew up with Can It Be True, which was Youth Praise, a G, an E minor, a C, and a D seventh.
Yeah.
And to which I've added another four chords. That's basically my repertoire.
Yeah.
And I think I'm not a guitarist. I'm not pretending to be a guitarist. A really good guitarist. I just want to be able to lead people in singing.
Yeah.
And I think you can do that without being grade eight, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, most people who are musically gifted look at me and go, you know nothing, and they are right.
Okay, that's why you're only my third favourite guitarist.
Yeah, absolutely. but the important thing, I do think it's really take a step back and go, what are we doing when we stand up in front of people on a Sunday morning?
What are we doing?
The primary thing is that we're trying to lead people lovingly, gently, to be able to sing the truths of God's word.
Right.
And so this, anything I do on here is secondary to them singing.
Okay.
And me singing with joy and loving God as I express those truths.
So you're not essential, any musician actually. What's essential is that people are singing. It's not essential that we are...
I just dropped my capo. Sorry about that.
You did just drop your capo. Can we just say something about capos?
Mm. Yeah.
For guitarists, I always feel that I'm cheating when I use a capo. Is that right?
No, capos appear a number of times in the Bible.
Are they basically the God's gift to guitarists?
I'm so grateful. Look, if you strip it down, I can probably play about four chords, maybe a few extras. I can play in about three different keys. So, for example, the obvious one that you just mentioned, G, C, D... your foot, and so on, and you can add a few minors in there, which your E minor and A minor, and then you're done for that key, G.
Yeah.
But the point is, I would often, if something was in C, I go capo 5, and I'm up here then, but I'm still playing the same chords.
So I've we're kind of all over the place, but I don't think that really matters. I've always thought, so here's my lovely capo. Your capo's got branding on it. That's very smart. I've always thought that if I'm playing up here, it's a bit banjo-y.
Yeah. I think...
Now, obviously, it's easier for me. I struggle with bar chords, which is putting your finger across every string, because I've got little hands. So I find it easier to play in C by basically capoing up.
Yeah.
Although I'm not on the right fret, I realise that. But I would... So, Come People of the Risen King, I would find it easier to play in G up here than I would to play in C down at the bottom. But I've always thought, does that sound a bit like I'm just playing the ukulele or banjo?
I think, particularly if you're on your own, you have to consider that this is the only thing that the congregation are hearing.
Right.
But if you're playing with multiple instruments, you've got to think, what part of that menu am I going to...
Okay, so we're in
the
sort of the spectrum of sound. Playing?
Like you mentioned a song, which I don't think we can play too much of because of copyright. But if we were to, you think if you've got a pianist, they're playing very much in the middle range of their keyboard. So frequency-wise, they're kind of here. Now, if you were to play down here in C.
That's where the piano is.
That sits exactly where the piano is.
Right.
And what I'm always trying to do, and if you've got a bassist, as many churches would do, they'd be down here. Now, what I'm trying to do always is get out of that range. So I want to be up here. So, for example, on that song, I would put on capo 5. And you can get all these chords with various things online. And
yeah, yep, yep.
It's really simple to find. But I'm playing then in G, but that is actually now a C.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you said. But that these notes up here. Now, if you did it all the songs on your own, yeah, it might get a little banjo-like. It depends on the quality of the guitar a bit. But
I hear what you're saying.
I'm cutting through. I mean, I would be very, very happy to come right up here. I would very often play on a capo 7 up there. That's so I'm now playing in D. And there'd be loads of stuff I could do right up there.
Okay.
And now, yeah, on its own, it's not too bad.
Yeah, though people are contributing their own voices as well, which exactly. fill the spectrum in a certain
yeah.
place.
Yeah.
I one of the most helpful things, I think, in terms of piano playing, but generally in music, I heard Bob Coughlin do a little seminar at Word Alive one year on accompanying singing, and basically said, with all your different instruments, you want to be thinking about where you are in the spectrum. Yeah. And actually on the piano, if you've got people who are playing in that center part, you want to be playing an octave up.
Yeah.
Because actually, that's the sort of way to cut through. Okay. Well, we slightly got sidetracked there, but that was quite a fun rabbit hole. Thank you very much. We're accompanying singing, aren't we? And singing is the thing. We've got to keep remembering that.
Yeah.
Because we're musicians. We love music.
Yeah.
I love going to gigs. I love hearing the guitar solos and the rest of it. But we have got to remember that we're there to help people sing well.
Yeah.
That's really what's at the heart of sung worship, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think therefore, for many years I've either played in kind of big churches, big bands, but then I went and planted a church and did that for 9 years, and for the first few years it was just me. I mean, I literally was like picking up guitar, playing every song, and then preaching and so on. And that's normal for so many churches.
Yeah, or you might have been a small group.
Yeah.
You think it's nice. It's a lot of people don't sing in small groups, but I think it's quite a nice thing to do. You think, well, actually, there's just some. You know, Bob's got his guitar. And his rainbow strap, you know, what are we going to sing?
Yeah, and I think it's part of it. You just got to appreciate what you've got. So I was in a church on Monday night. There were a bunch of musicians. There were 20 plus, you know, from a few churches. But we sang really well. It was amazing. But part of that is just like we weren't splayed the whole way across the church building. I got everyone sat really close together.
Right,
okay. So, so actually where the congregation sits is really important to our sung praise. But what about you? I think I'm trying always to play as little as possible.
What do you mean?
So if for example, let's play...
You're going down my chart now.
let's play an old hymn, one of my favourites, Isaac Watts, When I Survey.
Okay.
All I want to do is I want to get people singing. So I want to make my introductions not really short, but pretty short.
Okay, what key are you playing this in?
I'm playing an F.
Okay.
It's close enough. So when I survey the wondrous cross and all that, but I just want to play a couple of chords to come in.
So this is the thing I find is hardest, right?
Yeah.
So when I'm playing the piano, I know how to start a song well.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got lots of tips. I could do two podcasts on that, no problem. I'm not a confident guitarist. No. So when you said to me we're playing in F, I've put a capo 3 on and I'm gonna play in
play
D because I'm pretty comfortable there. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to be playing on my own for a long time because I'm probably going to make a mistake.
Yeah.
But I do want to give people a good lead in.
Yeah.
And actually that's the thing. You know, once we're going, it's okay. Because if I make a mistake, that's not so bad. How do I give people a good lead in using a guitar that is not over the top but is helpful? What do people need?
I think it's a couple of things. Don't make it too short, because too short, some people in the congregation haven't even stood up.
Okay.
But to make it too long.
When I surface.
It's probably not quite. No, don't make it too long, because there's not much interesting stuff going on when you're playing guitar.
Certainly not when I'm playing guitar, I can tell you
that's
that.
Okay. That's absolutely okay. But what you want, what I'm trying to do always when I'm introducing a song is, one, give a clear lead in, Yep. Now that's harder because you know when you're playing a piano, you can do all sorts of things.
You can bang
things.
The note. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you go, everyone's ready. Yep. Yes, they are. And off they go. On a guitar, that's much harder. But I do think you've got the whole of your body to make it clear.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
So I'm much, often I'm leading with a microphone. I will take a good step forward at the time. Yep. I'll give a big nod, eyebrows up, make it really clear. We're going to sing now. Off you go. That's okay, because what I'm always thinking about is I'm thinking of the guy at the back who really struggles, not musical at all, and I want him to know when to open his mouth.
Okay.
Whether he sounds like a foghorn or he sounds like an opera singer, it really doesn't matter. I want him to be confident to be able to open his mouth to sing the praises of God for all he's done in Christ. So clarity. And there's a whole myriad of ways of doing that. Guitar, you're limited, I think, a little bit musically, but you've got the whole of your body.
Okay.
So give it a bit of a nod, give it a bit of a, yeah, we're coming in now, for the sake of the chap or the person who won't naturally anticipate when to open their mouth.
Right, okay, yeah.
I say that because, like in any presentation of anything, confidence wanes so quickly if you don't know where you're going, and therefore the starting point's really helpful, but also the tempo as you go through, and that's where the strength of the guitar, I think, is it really lies in congregational singing. So you're not there to give all the color like a piano can, dynamic range you've got in the whole kind of register. You're not there to give, you know, the big lifts like a backline of drums and bass might be able to do, but you are there to give solid, confident tempo.
Okay. It's quite, because the guitar is quite a percussive instrument.
Oh, it's massively.
Isn't it? That, it is, in that sense, you're not just strumming, you are making strings vibrate, and you're doing it in a certain rhythm, and therefore you are giving both key and tempo, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, like, if you were, I think that, yeah, love it all here, I will sing the one story, yeah?
Okay.
I will sing the one wondrous story. You know, old hymn like
approximately.
That. Approximately. Something like that. And again, I'm playing it nice and high on my capo because I want to be able to cut through. So I'm playing it in C, but that's actually now in F. Okay. I will sing. So I've done that. But once you've got the congregation singing, I did this on Monday night in Wales, and the noise was just cacophonous, you know, like off they went. They're not going to hear what you're playing. And you just got to have the humility as a guitarist, go, yeah, as soon as the congregation is singing, it really doesn't matter what you do with your left hand.
Okay.
Because they're just going to be overwhelmed. That the noise that
so
you
your
create.
So your fancy little chord that you've spent a long time rehearsing with a little extra ninth in it.
Yeah.
You know, actually, once the congregation is singing, it's neither here nor there.
Well, if you make a real doozy, it's going to come through on the mix, and you've got to be careful that you're not a distraction.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, just have the humility to recognize what you're doing with your left hand. Actually, as long as you get roughly the right chord,
Guitars are available, we should say, for left-handed players. But yes,
a really, really brilliant guitarist once said to me, "Look, Andy, you're worrying so much about."
Was he in my top two?
Yeah, he's definitely well above me. And he just said, "Look, just try." And we were doing, I can't think of a modern song that we can't get out copyright. Let's keep it there. But basically, if you forget some chords, it's okay. Because if you get a congregation sing, I will sing the wondrous story.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of your standard sort of response. You can just damp everything get away with that. Yeah,
yeah, because actually you're just keeping rhythm.
Yeah.
You're keeping time.
Okay.
And one of the things that musicians always do, folks like yourself, because you want to give that beautiful colour, particularly when the congregation aren't singing words, that's the time when a good musician will want to give a nice bit of colour between a line, between a verse. That's absolutely appropriate and lovely. But when you do that, when you express yourselves musically, so often musicians drop in timing.
Right, okay.
And so you can get to the end of a verse and you drop five beats per minute. Now, if you've got a five-verse hymn, You've basically become a dirge for every hymn by the end of the, by the end.
So let me just play that back to understand that. So you're saying that once you move away from just that very simple accompaniment, and you're trying to do fancier things, musicians will tend to slow down.
Yeah, I mean, not always.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is a kind of a common habit that I see, and it's not, you know.
So it kind of doesn't work at a number of levels. It doesn't work because actually you're not helping people sing, but it doesn't help because actually you're slowing people singing when they do sing.
Yeah, and you know that tempo creates, you're trying to reflect musically what the words are saying. And if you're trying to, let's say we're in a hymn which is praising God and great joy, if you're trying to then put a kind of a musical expression to it, but in so doing you've slowed it down, joy can become slightly muted if it becomes so slow and laboured.
So I will sing Wonder Stories, good example. It's a 3-4 hymn. Yeah. It doesn't want to rattle along, but equally it doesn't want to drag.
Yes.
You know, it's got some great highs, it's got some strong lows, and in terms of, you know, where it is in the frequency, and actually you want to be moving along with that, don't you?
And it's tempo-wise, I always say, look, pick the hardest part of the song to sing.
Okay.
Which is, what was it? Yes, I'll sing
you've demonstrated they're playing the wrong chord, which I'm very grateful for.
Of the Christ who died for me, sing it with.
So that's the bit that's kind of
saints in, da, 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 da. That bit is the hardest part of the song.
That's when you're in chicoevas. Yep.
So you've got to. I always say, like, analyze the song, look at it, and go, right, that's the hardest bit to sing. So find that bit and work out the tempo from that bit.
And would you do that as you're standing before the song starts? Would you do that kind of in your head?
Oh yeah. And I use an illustration. I can't play it because of copyright reasons. But the one that everyone goes wrong on is, it's an old one, but it's Strength Will Rise.
Okay.
Can't sing it because of copyright. But if you think about that, everyone walks up to the microphone, plugs in the guitar, and go, yeah, let's think about the first line. Get excited. And then the congregation get to the syncopated middle section, and they're going, oh, we can't sing this because it's so fast.
Even with my overdrive.
And all the congregation's breathless.
Okay,
there.
Yeah, got it.
So when you get to the chorus, you are the everlasting God bit, everyone's just like on the floor, just like, we haven't got through. And also musically, you can't fit everything in. So think of the hardest bit tempo-wise.
That's really helpful.
And lock in on that as you work out your introduction.
Can you take me back to my introduction? Because we didn't. Yeah. I don't think we've really nailed this yet.
Yeah.
I'm still just as nervous as I was at the beginning about introductions.
Yeah.
So I will sing the Wonder Story.
Yeah.
Okay, we're in F here.
Yeah.
So just play me an introduction.
Okay. So I'll be there and I'll be thinking. And I'll be doing this in my head. Da, ba, ba, da, 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 da. And I'll be getting the tempo from it. I will sing.
So I've you've basically given me 3 or 4 bars.
Yep.
Not a lot more.
No more.
You've done slightly fancier chords than I would be able to do.
Yep, fine.
So what key were you playing there?
Oh, I was playing an E because I was struggling, sitting down, singing up in F.
I'm not sure I really want to embarrass myself by actually playing the introduction here, but let me have a go.
Yeah, go for it.
So, I'm also thinking at this point about my limitations.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm thinking, you know, I what are the various chords that I could play that I'm comfortable with that I'm not, you know, going to mess up. I've got I've got my B minor cheat there, which I play
beautiful.
A D6, which is close to a B minor.
Sounds all right.
So that saves me barring the chord. So, I will sing. So, quite simple, but I've given the tempo there.
Yeah.
And they're chords I'm confident in, so I probably, you know, I didn't do them very well, but well enough, I guess. Okay.
And again, it's stripping it right down. We are there to lead our church family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to sing God's praises. We're not there to perform. So if you are a top-end guitarist, there'll be 1,000 things that you could do where all eyes would be on you.
Yeah. And you're probably thinking right now, there are 1,000 things that I could do that Adrian can't, which is, I'm totally willing to accept that.
But likewise on the piano, you know, you've got in your repertoire, You can get it all out. But the problem then is all eyes are on you. And actually you fail miserably if that's the end result of what you playing on a Sunday morning. Either you're down the end of the spectrum of distraction, you're so bad that everyone's going, oh my God. Over Sunday lunch, everyone's going, do you see how bad Adrian was when he played that song?
Yes.
But likewise, if you go the other end of the spectrum, you dazzle people with your musical gifts and everyone's talking about that wonderful.
Equally harmful.
Yes.
Okay.
And you've got to recognize that that's performance.
Yeah.
That's distraction.
Okay.
What you're aiming for is clarity in leading. And lovingly, humbly, having all eyes pointing to Jesus.
Got it.
And therefore, look, I'm not going to be prescriptive and say these are the things that you have to do. But if you sit well away from distraction and performance and come somewhere in the middle of, I want to lovingly, clearly, humbly point people to Jesus as they sing his praises. Mm. There's a few things in the middle there that you can be doing. Yeah. Yeah. That means you'd be frustrated because actually, if you are a really, really accomplished musician, you've been taught to perform. Eyes on you.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like anything in church, isn't it? Serving is sacrificial.
Yeah.
It's about putting others before yourself. Yeah. I've got a couple of specific questions that I want to ask as a dummy.
Yeah.
Number one is between verses.
Yeah.
I always think as a pianist, I want to give people a bit of breathing space.
Yeah.
Is it basically about doing the intro all over again? Or would you mix it up, or would you, you need to give people a little bit of space in between verses. So I will sing "Wonder Story" is a good example. Most people sing that with three verses.
Yeah.
If you went straight from "Gathered by the Crystal Sea," I was lost, but Jesus, you need to give people a couple of bars, don't you, to rest. Would you just go for the same stuff in between?
Particularly if you've just had that really high note, whatever it is, we're playing it in E. It's a you could go to the fourth and then to the fifth of the whatever.
Okay.
And into there. You could go straight in, but I agree. You do want someone to breathe a little bit. I think there's also a place for thinking a bit. You've just sung.
Yes. You've sung some quite extraordinary things, and you probably wonder what the Crystal Sea is.
Yeah.
you need a moment to pause and just think about the Crystal Sea. Okay. But, great answer. These are quick fires.
Yeah, go for it.
Number two, it strikes me that strumming technique, what's happening in your right hand, is as important as what's happening in your left hand.
I would say it's more important.
So I've heard people play, really accomplished people who are doing amazing things, shaping chords and all sorts, and are just not really doing anything with their right hand, occasionally strumming a chord. Yeah. And that's not really helping me, I don't think, in giving me a lead. That's the sense I get.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think a lot of people focus, because chords are hard, and you do want to think about what your chords, I can basically play in G, D, C. I never play in A, never play in a lot of other keys. Okay. I just use my capo.
Okay.
Because I've got a good repertoire. I play in E a bit, and that'd be fine. But the right hand, so for me, obviously if I'm right-handed, I want to keep, timing is everything for me. So I want to keep everyone going.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people play like this a bit too much.
Yeah, okay. That's probably me.
One person who's brilliant guitarist just said, it's like playing squash. If you imagine tennis playing is all your shoulder.
Yeah, okay.
Badminton's all your wrist. You don't want to be playing like that. Because in the rotation of your wrist, you are not having the strength that you need to consistently hit your strings the whole way through.
Okay.
So it is this kind of squash, which is kind of hybrid between tennis and badminton.
Okay.
So it's a bit of everything, but the rotation must come from your elbow.
Who knew? Help for guitarists and sports players today. Yes, on Independence.
So keep it a bit tight, but play the whole way through.
Okay.
And also, I think one of the real key things you can practice is, like, if you're playing a C, for example, you don't want to be hitting your bottom string.
No.
And it's just trying to. It's practicing hitting the five or the six or the four.
Okay.
But not.
So if you're going to err one way.
Yeah.
So that's me with my E at the top. But always better to leave the E off, obviously. Yeah. But if I'm going to err, actually just being at the top end of the strings is a better place to be than having that E in there.
And I would say one thing you can always do, for example, if we were playing, go down one. playing when I survey, playing, which is an F. These top strings, it can essentially act like a top end bagpipe droney type thing.
Yeah.
And even if you don't, if you forget your chords, you can keep them going up. But when I survey the wondrous cross, and don't change chord. On which the prince, the rest of the band can be changed, of course. Of glory, he died.
You go. So it may be that I know too many chords.
Yeah, just keep it to okay, one. That's fine.
Number three in my little list of quick fires. I noticed you're doing something which I love the sound of.
Yeah.
I'd like to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
I think you were doing it around a G chord, which is you're keeping your little pinky finger.
Yeah.
And sounding a G through all the chords.
Yeah.
So here's my open G. Let's just do it with open chords. It's just easier for me.
Okay.
So, and so there's my top note, which is an E. And then I noticed that you were then playing a different chord, but you were keeping that finger on. Now, I would normally just play the chord.
Yeah.
So that just creates a slightly different sound, doesn't it? It sort of makes that note ring.
Yeah.
So what are you basically just keeping your little finger on that note?
Yeah. Play around with all these type of things. You'll see, you know, whether it's a folk guitarist or the Ed Sheeran type people, they're trying to just.
I think you're better than Ed Sheeran, by the way.
No, he's amazing.
You're better looking as well.
No, stop it. Just trying to invert chords slightly, hammer on, hammer off. So you know, there's lots.
What do you mean by hammer on, hammer off?
All that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Okay, people like Foy Vance, Ed Sheeran, do all of that kind of stuff. And it's just some nice little inversions of chords, which you will do on the piano the time. And if you're particularly if you're on your own on a guitar, it's sometimes nicer to do it.
Okay. So we're in the nice to haves now rather than essentials.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, okay. And like we were saying, keeping these notes up here, it's just that consistent kind of. If you had a keyboard, you might have a bottom note which stays the whole time. It's kind of warm. What I'm trying to do, if I'm in a band situation, which we haven't talked about much, I'm trying to give kind of a level of consistency and confidence to the band on the stage or the front of church, such that they can do much less, as little as possible.
Okay.
But we're all, I'm the solid foundation of both rhythm, and I've got that kind of, whether it's a... That's not in tune, but the drone that consistently rings throughout the whole song,
right?
And it does. It just takes a little bit of practice. Some open chords, kind of. You can Google and you can find out all YouTube. There's a whole bunch.
YouTube is great, isn't it, for learning stuff? My daughter basically learned the bass guitar on YouTube.
Yeah,
and it is just fantastic. Yeah, isn't it?
And loads of people. You know, it's so simple. And little small things. If you get a decent capo, and you learn. Key of G with kind of four or five chords in there, D, E, and probably C as well. If you learn, which is probably only about 15 chords, with a decent capo, you can play at the front of church.
So I feel really encouraged by this, actually. Genuinely, I feel very encouraged by this because I think I've always been a reluctant guitarist and pretty cautious and... Yeah. Just a very aware of my own limitations. So we're almost done.
Yeah.
So just give me an introduction, first few lines of When I Survey. I want to hear that as we kind of finish up.
I'll do it again with a different capo.
And what key are you in there?
So I'm going to be playing in F. Okay, so that's capo 4, playing in C. So it'll be a standard C. I'm adding a little top G there. Sorry, a top. What would that be?
Yeah, but it would be a G
That'd
if you were
C.
down there.
That's
but
a
yes,
C.
yeah,
so
yes,
C.
yes,
yeah. When I survey the wondrous cross. So while I'm walking up to the mic, plugged in, I'm singing it to myself in my head.
Okay.
Because I want the tempo to be set, not with just looking at the music. I want to be able to sing it and like know what it's going to. Because I'm like that. I can't look at music. So I have to know in my head. So. Given a nice good nod, you know, and so on. Really simple. When I survey the wondrous cross on this earth. and so on.
Great. Isaac Watts would be delighted.
Oh,
Andy, thank you so much.
It's a privilege.
Just a joy to spend time with you, actually, and just think about, you know, to put singing in its right place, first of all. Yeah. But just think about actually how the guitar can be a really great instrument. I was reminded the other day that when Tony Blair moved into number 10 Downing Street, he was seen carrying a guitar case, which is why Private Eye called him the Vicar of St Albion, because they said it was just like every other evangelical curate, he has a guitar. They had a very dismissive idea, I guess, of guitars. But it's a very versatile instrument, isn't it? And it can serve really well in church life. And, and be really useful, and you can have a bit of overdrive.
Oh yeah,
sorry, I had to get that in at the end. It's great for kids' songs. Andy, we're done for time. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been Independence FIC podcast. If you've enjoyed listening, please do rate us and come back and visit again. Thanks very much.
Pleasure. Thank you.